occupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here, host of the program, joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, who is a veteran of our United States Air Force. We were talking before coming on the air about this tragic crash at Reagan DCA Airport over the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., which, man, I literally just flew from that same airport Tuesday. My heart breaks for the family of the deceased, and I'm going to get into this later in the show, but I'm uncomfortable with this whole scenario. I mean, DCA is one of the busiest airports in the country. You know, when the traffic in and out of that airport, where you have this American Airlines flight that is landing. So the American Airlines flight, and I know some people are saying that the American Airlines plane crashed into the helicopter, but that's not possible because the American Airlines plane is landing, but the plane certainly would have been within view of the helicopter. I mean, I'm no pilot. I'm not fancy. I'm grieved for the deceased, and I'm concerned about what all transpired. The latest reports is that there are no survivors from this crash. That what we began as a rescue mission over the frigid Potomac River has now become a reclamation project for the bodies of the deceased. Last report I saw, they'd recovered about 27 of the bodies of the deceased. And it's just it's a tragedy that is disconcerting. In addition to Mr. Rosa, we have producer extraordinaire, the real J Mac, often imitated, never duplicated. I'm mystified as to how this could happen in the year of our Lord 2024. I won't get into speculation, but I am concerned as to what all transpired. I know lots of investigation is underway. I'm going to play some audio and video from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. But first, on my heart, I would just invite you to join me in praying for the families of the deceased. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. It's very, 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 very disconcerting. And I don't want to get ahead of investigators that are recovering information. Of course, you have black box data on the plane, and I am not on the helicopter. No. That's why I said the plane, not the helicopter. Helicopter is not going to have black box. In addition to what I've said already, that the American Airlines plane included people from the United States and Russia's U.S. figure skating teams, including Russians who were coaches, and they were there in the D.C. area were actually returning from a training session following a competition, I believe, that was in Kansas. Man, it is grieving when you have life lost in that fashion. Let's turn to the Word of God. I want to revisit the text in Daniel chapter 2, because there's wisdom there for us. And I know what the kind of the bright lights component of the text, having the Lord reveal Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel. And I guess let me set it up again. The chapter 2 begins with Nebuchadnezzar having a troubling dream. He's disturbed in his sleep. He summons his wise men and counselors, but he suspects that he has charlatans among his ranks because he said, no, I ain't falling for the old okey-doke. You busters got to tell me my dream and then tell me the interpretation. The Babylonian wise man's like, oh, Neb, come on, man. You know nobody can't tell you what you dream. Just tell us what the dream is and then we'll interpret it for you. Nebuchadnezzar responds, now you suckers lie. And this is in the Bible. Now, of course, the way I'm describing it is the Abe Standard Version. He says, you suckers lie. I'm not telling you what the dream is. Nah, you tell me what my dream is, and then you tell me the interpretation. They say, Neb, we can't do it. Nebuchadnezzar responds, fine, then I don't need wise men. All of the wise men, they died today. This is what's in the Bible in Daniel chapter 2. But then Arioch, A-R-I-O-C, comes to Daniel and his friends' abode, coming to kill them. Daniel's like, whoa, what's happening, Ari? What's going on here? Why is the king's order so urgent? Arioch explains to him what's happening. Daniel, filled with confidence in Yahweh, says, you set an appointment time for me to gain an audience with Nebuchadnezzar, because the God that I serve will reveal his dream to me as well as the interpretation. This is what the scripture says. After departing from Arioch's presence, Daniel immediately finds Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael and says, man, this was going on. Will you join me in prayer? They pray together. And then Daniel's immediate response before even gaining an audience with Nebuchadnezzar is to offer praise and worship to God. And that is a portion of the text we're going to visit today. Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 30. I'm going to pick up right at Daniel chapter 27. So once Daniel tells Arioch, give me some time and set an appointment time for me to have an audience with Nebuchadnezzar, because I am going to share with him what God shows me, show me what his dream is and the interpretation. This is what Daniel goes on to say. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired. Now, this where I'm reading now is a part of what Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar. All right. After he worshiped the Lord and all, this is a part of what he says to Nebuchadnezzar. And I'll just tell you, I'm not going to get into the dream and its interpretation right now, but it's profound for world history because Daniel is still right. Here we are centuries later. Daniel is still right. But look at verse 27. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. That's those who practice divination. This is for Daniel. Daniel's saying everybody can get it because y'all all charlatans. None of these people are able to declare it to the king. However, verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. And look at verse 30. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. What I want you to see is Daniel's character. In the course of rejoicing, being this profound prophet of God, revealing this mystery, if you're familiar with this passage, what actually happened, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream about this statue figure with, you know, gold head, iron, clay, and really is showing the transition of global superpowers that culminates with the kingdom of God. the transition from the Babylonians to the Medes and Persians to the Greeks, then to the Romans, and then with a stone that becomes larger than all of them. Like, this is literally world history being unfolded. But in the course of this profound revelation taking place, Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, I need you to know, man. I know what you dreamed and interpretation, not because I have any wisdom residing in myself more than any other living man. I'm not special. This is what Daniel is saying. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not special. I'm just a vessel that God has determined in this moment to communicate to you, because you're the king, and so that you can be aware of what it is God is trying to show you. What I'm saying here, folks, is that once again, the Lord is giving us a scriptural foundation upon which to plant ourselves in knowing God is far more concerned about our character than even our function. It's not as if he's not concerned about our function. But our character is of utmost importance. This is uncommon humility on display. It's not because I'm so special, Neb, that the Lord has shown this to me. I'm simply the vessel that God has ordained for this moment so that you can have clarity as to what it is he's trying to show you. I know what God is trying to show you. He's shown me already. But he's appointed me for this moment so that you can be aware. He's also set the course for you to understand that the revelation of mysteries ain't going to come from your divination peddlers, from your conjurers, from your charlatans who you already know lie. That's why you ain't trusting from the get-go. But God wants you to know, in addition to what's been troubling your sleep through this dream, he wants you to know that there's a God in heaven. I am gobsmacked by this display of humility. This is literally the Old Testament version of, Neb, this ain't about me, man. This is not about me at all. And it is incumbent upon you and I to learn from Daniel this example and to recognize that what we get to do, we get to do. That us being called by God to be his servants, that the Lord saves us and calls us into his service, it's not because it is to aggrandize ourselves. We have to be continually mindful. I've been hearing a phrase in many different places. You know, we all have egos. Should we? More specifically, should there be egos in the body of Christ? The Apostle Paul said, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. I am appealing to you in this fashion because God has ordained his remnant to be peculiar. And that peculiarity is not just what we look like to people on the outside, but it's also a peculiar disposition internally. To where though we live in the era, you know, where the athletes are, you know, Superman in the chest and, you know, it's, hey, me, I'm a bad man, I'm this, I'm that. If a person who professes to be a representative of Christ, but it's very hard for you to discern any humility, I'm just warning you to be very careful. Because God is the one who said that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace, more grace, Mizan Kairos to the humble. The Lord has ordained us for the time that we're in, guys. But as Daniel said, it's not because we're so special, and it's not that we should have a self-loathing disposition either, but we should have an appropriate assessment as to who we are. Recognize, man, standing before a high and holy God, living before the audience of one, we should be able to echo Daniel's sentiments. That I know that this is not about me. I simply have the honor and privilege of being the vessel that the Lord desires to reveal himself through in this moment, in this particular way. And I pray that this is my continued disposition internally as well as yours. And it's evident in our display of character.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The work of being a parent is an awesome responsibility. It's a great responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a joy. Our job is to do all we can to help our children come to know Christ, and then to passionately be involved in the work of discipling them, helping them to grow up in their faith, to become mature, strong, vibrant, young men and women who love Jesus and live for Jesus every single day. Lord, with every passing day and more, help us all to grow in our understanding of how critical it is that we do our job, that we carry out what you've called us to do. But help us to know, Lord, that your word is a wonderful tool, a wonderful guidebook in helping us to be faithful disciples and faithful disciple makers as well. Use us in a wonderful way to help them to come to know Christ, and then use us and work through us to help our children to come to fall in love with you and with your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton the Third here. A couple things that are coming up. Fellas, I'm asking, I've asked you this before. Do you know what you're doing with your wife? February 14th, if not, and I know you already had plans. I know you already planned to do it. You already satisfied it, but you just got to get that registration in. What am I talking about? Double date night, February 14th at the Cadence Bank Conference Center, sponsored by Culture Proof. My wife and I, Maria Hamilton, will be joining Willamiki Addison, as well as Todd Wilson, who is absolutely hilarious if you've never heard him. It's going to be an amazing time. You don't even have to worry about what your plans are because they're already made for you. You'll have a multi-course meal, wonderful time of fun and encouragement in the Lord. And so you don't want to miss out on it. February 14th is the date. And coming up on March 1st, Saturday, March 1st, at 5:30 p.m. at Garrett Memorial Christian School in Hope, Arkansas. This will be my second time in Hope, Arkansas. And it has nothing to do with William Jefferson. That's his hometown, by the way. I will be joining them for the Christian School's fundraising gala. You will need to register for that as well. To do so, simply go to gmcsgala2025.eventbrite.com, or you can contact the school and register by mail. For those of you who are like, I don't trust that interwebs, I'm looking forward to being there. It's going to be an amazing time. The gala is going to be fantastic. Hope, Arkansas, March 1st at 5:30 p.m. Be there. All right. I said I was going to share this. This morning, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, got to get used to saying that, communicated directly with the American people concerning the tragic crash in Washington, D.C. And in fact, before I get to Pete Hegseth, I'll show you, because of the plethora of cameras in the Washington, D.C. area. You know, I know that the Atlanta airport is the busiest airport in the world, frankly. But Reagan is pretty close to being just as busy in terms of flights in and out. The moment where the was being described as a helicopter, reported as a helicopter, crashes into the American Airlines flight was actually captured on video. There won't be any audio on this. So those who are listening via live radio or the podcast, audio podcast only, you won't hear what's happening. But those who are watching the program, and I encourage you to watch the program, you can watch it. You can open a free account at AFA streaming service, stream.afa.net. You can also follow the Hamilton Corner on YouTube, social media, InstaFace, all of this stuff, so that you can watch. You having an InstaFace? Yeah, InstaFace Graham, my face. Feed, post, hexadecimal. Here it is. This is the, man, this is, it's hard to watch. This is the moment of the tragic collision. Clip number one. Clip one. Go. I'll describe it as the video is showing. There you see in the distance. Yeah, you saw the explosion. Yeah. Yeah, you can see here's a closer view of it. You can see the smaller light heading toward the larger light, and then you see this moment of collision. As I refer to Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth talked about where things were from the military standpoint, because the helicopter is reported as a military Black Hawk helicopter. Listen to and watch Defense Secretary Hegseth describing and discussing this matter. Clip number two. Clip two. Go.
All right. Update this morning. Just got off the phone with the Southcom commander and the chairman, the Joint Chiefs, talking about our efforts at Guantanamo Bay. That is ongoing. We're leaning forward on supporting the president's directive to make sure that we have a location for violent criminal illegals as they are deported out of the country. No one's going to wait on the Defense Department, and we're working that in real time. But I also wanted to give an update on the tragedy that happened last night here in Washington, D.C., and provide a little bit more information as we are actively working to investigate and understand what occurred and why. At about 8:48 last night, a UH-60 assigned to the U.S. Army Aviation Brigade in the Military District of Washington, Fort Belvoir, Virginia, collided tragically with a civilian airliner. The Army unit involved was Bravo Company 12th Aviation Battalion at Fort Belvoir. It was an annual proficiency training flight. And when we look at the crew, and we're not all kin have been notified, so we're going to withhold ranks and names at this point. We do know on our side who was involved. It was a fairly experienced crew, and that was doing a required annual night evaluation. They did have night vision goggles. The 12th Aviation Battalion, as of now, is granted a 48-hour operational pause on contingency missions as what happened is reviewed, and a senior-level aviation team, an investigative team from our Aviation Safety Center, was deployed last night and already is in Washington, D.C. to investigate what's going on. We anticipate that the investigation will quickly be able to determine whether the aircraft was in the corridor and at the right altitude at the time of the incident. As I mentioned, next of kin notifications are ongoing. It's a tragedy, a horrible loss of life for those 64 souls on that civilian airliner, and of course, the three soldiers in that Black Hawk. They're in our prayers, their families and their communities as people are notified. I can't imagine. And I know it's gone from a rescue mission to a recovery mission. And we're with all the first responders that are moving actively too. So at the Defense Department, our thoughts and prayers go out. We are actively investigating to find out what happened and why. And as we get updates, you will have them. God bless.
Now, let me just say, I'm glad that Pete Hegseth was confirmed. It was a tight vote. J.D. Vance had to cast the deciding vote because it was a tie, 50-50. Three Republican senators opposed Pete Hegseth's confirmation, which caused Vice President J.D. Vance to say, I thought I was done voting in the Senate, because, you know, he was a United States senator from the state of Ohio before being elected Vice President of the United States. I have to tell you, I'm not trying to be, you know, I guess you have to create another term, conspiratorial necessarily. I just have a hard time reconciling how this is possible. As I said to you before, the American Airlines flight, and for those who were watching the video, was kind of confused which was which. In the video we showed, the larger light was the American Airlines plane. The smaller light was the helicopter that crashed into the plane. The American Airlines plane was in descent as it was preparing to land at Reagan in Washington, D.C. Based on the descent and where the American Airlines plane was positioned, that it would not have been able to see the helicopter, but the helicopter certainly with, as you know, Defense Secretary Hegseth had said, it was equipped with night vision capacities, that the helicopter certainly would have been able to see the airplane. This is very, very much so unsettling to me. And it again causes me to ask the question, how is this possible? I understand there are errors. There are some reports indicating that the helicopter ignored the air traffic control warnings and alert. And again, I'm not a pilot, so I'm not trying to offer expertise beyond the scope of my capacity, Billy Carson. So I will reiterate my appeal to you to pray for the families of the deceased. But I pray that righteousness and truth will prevail in our nation. We have been in an environment of deception and lies. So repeated. I mean, we still, I mean, how far do we need to go? What should be recognized as the biggest scandal in American history, that we had a weekend at Bernie's president for the last 4 years. House Speaker Mike Johnson just came out and said he came to him to ask him about an executive order he signed. Mr. Biden insisted. I didn't sign that, though his signature is on the page. Now, yeah, people coming out after the fact. Yeah, you can't really talk to him after 3 o'clock because he loses it, which is indicative of sundowner syndrome, when those who are suffering with dementia and Alzheimer's at different stages. Anybody who has family members that have gone through that, you know what sundowners, the symptoms of sundowners. Things are okay earlier in the morning, but as the day goes on, and yet you have all of these people. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll even tell you, I believe that the debate when Biden's mental decline was put on display for everybody, the people inside the White House weren't surprised by that. They weren't surprised. Oh, can't you believe it? Look. So I just pray for righteousness and truth to prevail in our nation. Today, you had day two of, well, that's right, Mitch McConnell seems to be struggling with some decline mentally. Don't forget, he was at a press conference and was asked about running for re-election. Dude just blanked out in front of everybody. And then his handlers, that's enough, no more questions. Which led to him announcing his resignation from Senate Majority Leader at some point in the future. Yeah, day two of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s confirmation hearings for his position at Health and Human Services as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, which is the agency under which the CDC exists, the National Institutes of Health exists, NIAID exists, all of those are underneath HHS, all right? You had Kash Patel nominated to be the FBI director. Tulsi Gabbard nominated to be the Director of National Intelligence. And I just, I've long said, particularly RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, I have questions about. I did not until today have questions about Kash Patel. Now, I'll tell you, I like Kash Patel. I think his nomination was profound. And I mean, he acquitted himself stupendously today. But there's one portion of today's hearings that caused the hair in the back of my neck to stand up and say, oh, I didn't know he had that position. And I'm not trying to bag on him. This is just something that gives me concern. And y'all know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. I'm grateful that the Lord gave us President Trump, has granted us a reprieve. But I'm going to tell you guys the truth. All right? This one thing that Cash Patel said made me concerned. Now, I'm grateful. He seems very willing to let it all hang, tell the truth about everything, you know. But this one thing he said about warrantless searches under Section 702, which is commonly understood as the FISA authorization, gave me pause. And what it was is that he described the necessity of law enforcement, the FBI in particular, getting warrants to comb through Americans' data secured by FBI under Section 702 under FISA. It's impractical to have to get a warrant to comb through that data. Listen to and watch clip number five. Clip number five.
The issue for me is not with FISA and 702. The issue has been those that have been in government service and abused it in the past. And so we must work with Congress to provide the protections necessary for American citizens dealing with these matters, including hostage rescue operations in real time, which we use FISA collection to find and save American hostages, having a warrant requirement to go through that information in real time is just not comportive with the requirement to protect American citizenry. I'm all open to working with Congress on finding a better way forward. But right now, these improvements that you've made go a long way.
Now, y'all know I'm going to translate. Again, I like Cash Patel generally. I was eagerly supportive of his nomination before I heard this today. Then when I heard this, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What he's saying is, as things stand currently, he is not in favor of the FBI having to secure a warrant before combing through the data collected by the FBI under FISA's 702 authorization. I will remind you, this is the exact same provision that was used to spy on the Trump campaign. This is the exact same provision that allowed Carter Page to have warrantless searches of his material. This is the exact same provision. Now, I'm grateful that Cash Patel said, I'm open to Congress to get a better fix. But he says having to secure a warrant to comb through the data would be impractical. Now, I want to be clear what everybody understands. They collect the data. The warrant would only be necessary in order for them to comb through it. Maybe something's wrong with me. I don't think it's an unnecessary step to make sure law enforcement agencies satisfy the Fourth Amendment considerations to get warrant approval before coming through Americans' data, because 702 was authorized originally solely for foreigners, not for American citizens.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
The enemy of your soul wants you to believe that where you are is where you have to stay, that it's some kind of a dead-end street and you can't get out. It's a cul-de-sac and it's a lie. It's not true. You don't have to be where you are if you don't want to be.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Hope and Anchor for Life, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I want to be clear about what I'm saying, guys. Again, I like Cash Patel, and I don't think the concern that I'm raising is going to thwart his confirmation. And I do think perhaps if he is asked this question again, I would hope he would offer a different answer. But I want to make sure you understand what he's discussing, okay? He's discussing the Section 702 Foreign Intelligence Service Authorization, okay? The provision was passed to allow the Department of Justice to investigate terrorists and foreigners with expediency. But over time, and what he said his concern was, my concern is not the existence of Section 702's authorization. My concern is that we've had people in these positions who have abused that authorization in the past. Well, my response to that is, well, why continue authorization? Because here's the problem. You're not always going to be the same people in government. Okay? When we pass laws, we can't allow laws for people that we think are the good guys, but take it away for people we think are the bad guys. All right? I don't think we should exchange our First Amendment Bill of Rights protections for expediencies in investigations, especially after just witnessing the scope of FISA abuse. Now, a part of my response to this is informed by my law enforcement background. I worked in the law enforcement agency because of continual investigations by detectives and federal and local PD task force with gang narcotics investigations and things of that nature, where we have to have 24-hour access to judges to secure warrants to conduct these investigations. I have been, you know, the on-duty DA overnight from midnight to 8 a.m. so that a detective can get a warrant at 3 a.m. because, you know, this drug dealer and murderer is about to make a move, okay? I don't think it is an impractical hurdle to preserve the integrity of the freedoms that we as Americans enjoy while simultaneously exercising law enforcement authority, all right? The collection of the data is going to happen. It's happening. What 702 authorizes is the Department of Justice to comb through the data without a warrant. That makes me uncomfortable. To Cash Patel's credit, he said, I am open to working with Congress to revise these authorizations so we protect Americans' freedoms while still exercising the law enforcement duties, even in exigent circumstances. Now, what he also did is that he mentioned a circumstance where there's an exigency present, but the law as it states currently is not narrowly tailored toward exigencies. And the reason why you have the Fourth Amendment, and so I want everybody to understand that it protects American citizens from unreasonable searches and seizures. So in order to secure a warrant to comb through that data, let's use myself, for example. I'll just use a John Doe. Let's say the FBI is investigating, you know, Osama bin Laden, right? A non-citizen. But Osama bin Laden is conferring with John Doe, who is an American citizen. Because of their interactions, the FBI has collected data that includes interactions between Osama bin Laden and John Doe. But they also have a whole bunch of data from John Doe that doesn't include Osama bin Laden. What Cash Patel is saying is that I want to be able to look at all of John Doe's communications without having to get a warrant, because that aids me to efficiently thwart threats that could be present on American citizens. What a warrant would require is that Cash Patel and his Department of Justice, assuming he's confirmed, would have to go to a judge and say, Judge, listen, we have specific factual evidence that gives us indication of a reasonable suspicion or an articulation of probable cause that John Doe is involved in potential criminal activity in order to review John Doe's data. Cash Patel is saying that's impractical as it stands currently. I'm saying that there needs to be sufficient protections for American citizens so that we don't have a repeat of the they've tapped my wires, because it is 702 that led to President Trump's campaign being investigated. It is 702 that was the foundation of the Russian collusion hoax. You had the dossier that was used to pursue Carter Page. You see what I'm saying? So when I heard that, my spotty senses went up. Whoa, wait a minute. You can't just be in favor or disfavor a particular provision of law depending on who is using the law. And I agree. I'm grateful that we'll have better people in these positions. But you can't just act like we haven't just witnessed the very reasons why we should be concerned about Section 702. Now, another fact, that Section 702 is up for reauthorization next year. What needs to happen is that it needs to be revised so that we can balance appropriately, secure the American citizens' rights while also exercising law enforcement investigatory powers. But I am unwilling to sacrifice American citizens' freedoms for the sake of law enforcement purposes. I don't find that to be an unnecessary or an impractical step. So that is something I was like, I didn't know that was your position on that, Cash Patel. All right. I'm going to go a little further. I'll get to Tulsi Gabbard, but I'll explain to you guys, and I've said this before, this isn't new. Again, I'm grateful for President Trump and for what he wants to do. I just have concerns about Robert Kennedy Jr. I do. Robert Kennedy Jr., he's not 25 years old. He's not forming his opinions about things. He has a lifelong commitment in areas that are concerning to me. My hope would have been that you can get somebody who has the same positives as Robert Kennedy Jr. without the negatives. For example, President Trump has announced he's tapping Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, to be the head of NIH. Well, NIH is under the authority of the Department of Health and Human Services. I would have preferred for Jay Bhattacharya to be the HHS secretary nominee. Well, you can have the appropriate disposition concerning COVID and investigating that. You can have the appropriate concern about making sure that, you know, vaccines and companies that make them are held accountable, right? But you don't have to have the history of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s support for it. Let's start here. The slaughter of unborn children in the womb. He's never said that I no longer have that position. But in addition to that, and that's one of the more well-known positions that he's held. But how about this? And I was disappointed that no Republican senator asked this question. Did you know that Robert Kennedy Jr. once described gun owners as a terrorist group? Did you know that? I'm not talking about these gotcha questions, you know, Bernie saying, you see your organization that you founded, these onesies, you see these onesies you made? That was so embarrassing to me. I was like, you taking a Senate confirmation hearing to talk about onesies, man? Do these onesies represent your position on vaccines, Mr. Kennedy? I'm telling you, Bernie Sanders, that's the dude, that's the doctor from Back to the Future. I'm telling you, that's who he is. I'm telling you. And he spends his off time, get off my lawn, all three of my lawns that I got when I decided to support Hillary Clinton for president. Oh, I'm sorry. She who shall never be president. I am a democratic socialist, but my campaign and my fight for the poor has resulted in me having beachfront property. But did you know Robert Kennedy Jr. described gun owners as a terror group? Why am I mentioning this? Do you also know that the Department of Health and Human Services was used just in the previous administration and was weaponized to target firearm owners? Did you know that? How about this one? Robert Kennedy Jr. previously called oil and gas companies leaders, quote, traitors who should be jailed for all eternity, and demanded that they be put to corporate death. So you one of these people that's like a rabid fossil fuel opponent? Now, why am I saying, again, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, was the entity that prohibited American citizens from collecting rent and their properties. The CDC was. Under Shmovit. And no Republicans asked these questions. Why? I'm just bringing this to your attention. I feel like President Trump could have made a better nomination, and I get the whole political thing, you know, because they made this alliance politically. But Robert Kennedy Jr. held these positions like last week. Like, don't forget, dude was trying to run for the presidency as a Democrat to advance these positions. There was a pivot and a moderation to focus on making America healthy again, as he made his political alliance with President Trump. And I know President Trump did what he did, you know, to get support. And I'm aware that Robert Kennedy's support helped him in some sectors of our society. But I'm talking about me, what I believe. And didn't we just have the same analysis that we applied to cackling she or shall never be president 2.0? When all of a sudden to be president, now all of the positions she's held, she don't hold them anymore. Do we not hold Robert Kennedy Jr. to the same standards? I want to know, Mr. Kennedy, do you believe gun owners are a terrorist group? Are a terror group? need to know that. I just feel like President Trump could have nominated a person with all of Robert Kennedy's strength, maybe not his name recognition, but with all of his strengths without any of his weaknesses. And so I'm concerned about that. Now, the potential exists that Robert Kennedy can surprise all of us and, you know, that he really doesn't believe none of the other stuff he used to believe. But the reason why he said that oil and gas heads were traitors, because he was one of the climate alarmists. So I'm just concerned about that. I'm just telling you the truth. And if I was a senator, I first would take my position and my role to advise and consent seriously. So I would offer advice to President Trump. And I would either consent or not consent because of my concerns. And it's also very possible President Trump says, listen, you stay in this lane. You know, I don't know if you remember the movie Hitch. Albert Brenneman, you learn how to dance. We don't need none of that. You don't need all that right here. Mm-mm. Right here, this way you go, right here. This way you go. You don't move, right here. You move, I'm firing you. Not, right here. That could be. But I'm just telling you. I would ask. Which brings me to, man, I have so much other stuff. Maybe I'll get to these last two. Tulsi Gabbard. I hope she does well. I think she may do well. And I learned something today that I didn't know. She said that she's Hindu. Did you know that? She said that today. I didn't know that. And she says that some are trying to target her for religious bigotry. I don't know, but I feel like you could have found somebody with Tulsi Gabbard's strengths without her weaknesses. You know, she's not as chronologically seasoned as Robert Kennedy, but I have a hard time believing someone as experienced as Robert Kennedy Jr. is all of a sudden willing to abandon his core convictions. That's all. And I don't think I'm unreasonable for thinking that. Tulsi Gabbard is not as chronologically seasoned, but she's had core convictions for quite some time. I do believe she could be good for intelligence. Could be. But when you have an opportunity to nominate somebody, in my opinion, I would rather have someone who I know how they will function versus what I think could be. Last one. I'll end with this. I don't think I can get both of these in. Man, I'm minding my business. All of a sudden, I come across a reporter on Al Jazeera. Julia Galliano calls herself shame in the United States of America because we have the audacity to send the millions of illegal immigrants back out of our country, and you won't believe what she said about that. I'm not going to spoil it for you. Listen to and watch clip number 3, Julia Galliano reporting on the mean Americans repatriating illegal aliens. Clip 3, go.
Mexico cannot cope, not sure any country can, but Mexico can't cope with like a sudden influx of millions of people. I mean, as much as she wants to embrace them, to use her word, when they come back and make them feel welcome, it all sounds very nice when you're listening to it, but the reality of that is just completely unsustainable. A lot of these people have lived in the U.S. for decades. They have lives there. They have families. They're good standing citizens. So they're not in a position to just be deported and say like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to come back here and take a job making a fraction of what I used to make and go to my town where I don't have anything left, which is maybe has been overrun by violence. I mean, it's unrealistic to think that wouldn't lead to a crisis.
Now she's talking about the Mexican president. Now, wait a minute. Mexico can't absorb millions of people being brought back to that country, but we're supposed to? We're supposed to just absorb millions of people in the United States of America? You gotta be kidding me. I just found that to be so ironic. The nerve of you, ma'am. I know she's talking about the Mexican president. Mexican president saying they're all welcome, but Mexico can't absorb millions of people with a sudden influx of millions of people. I'm not sure any country can. Ain't that what they just tried to do with our country? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm telling you. And I ain't even get to let you see the former Kenyan president who was saying that, wait a minute, why are y'all crying because there's an America First policy? America don't owe you nothing? Oh, maybe I have to get to that later. Y'all have a great evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.